Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Saturday right here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the faux marble table, as always, Rashad, Donald Taylor, Demetrius Taylor.
It's getting really weird. Keep going, though.
Rashad, Demetri Taylor. I don't know why I'm going with the D.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doug?
Yes, Doug.
Doug.
I was just trying to think of the whitest name I could. Doug came
actually
up.
You're not far off.
All right, we'll figure it out here in a second. Yeah, but we also have Jordan Schultz across.
Hey guys, happy Saturday.
Yeah.
Go Ducks. Go Mariners. By the way, can I just shout out my Mariners?
I think you got to take a couple seconds to do it, Joe. You just got to.
For what?
What do you mean for what? What do you mean for what?
American League West champions, division champs for the first time in 24 years.
Listen,
we got football to get to.
You know what? It's the final weekend of baseball season, though, and I'll be damned if all these football fans watching, and it is going to be an exciting week four of college football, I get it, but all these fans watching college football aren't going to be tuning in to check these last couple of races finishing up in MLB. This is the best time to start watching baseball, and even fair weather sports fans start watching baseball around now, okay? Like, it's not just me.
I'm the guy he's talking about. That's me. Like, as far as baseball, yes. Now I pay attention because it's tough to pay attention for.
It's going
to
be hilarious when they get swept by the Guardians.
That's the negative energy that you don't
want.
Shut
up.
Yeah,
guys I'll like be this. There next Saturday. So that's.
Yeah, I heard that your dad was like, Jordan, if the Mariners make the World Series, I'll buy tickets. We're going. And I was like, all right, well, so I guess then Jordan's not going to the World Series.
Yeah, hey, man, this is a. Listen, I was in.
Baltimore didn't even make the playoffs. Hey! But I digress.
That's
a low blow.
We had just graduated high school the last time the Mariners were this good. You know what I mean? And it's been, after that, it's been like.
I couldn't believe it. When,
season after season after season of like wanting them to do well and it just never turning out that way.
When my buddy.
So finally for them to be in a position to where they're going to the playoffs, man, hell yeah. Let's go,
Ems.
When my buddy hit me with yesterday, it was yesterday or Wednesday. I don't know. But he's a big Mariners fan too. And he was like, yeah, man, AOS champs, first time in 24 years. And I was like, really? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah.
95, 97, 01, and now 25.
What were you doing in 01?
01.
Picking your nose. So was I, frankly.
I was very patriotic at the time. Don't know why.
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that year. Yeah.
Actually, I went and saw my first ever Major League Baseball game that summer, and that made me an Orioles fan. Camden Yards, baby. That's what I was doing.
No,
there
really.
You go.
They lost.
Awesome. You got to see Cal Ripken Jr. in his final year then, right?
Also, I think he was missing games at that point. Find the game box score I went to, and I don't think he was there because that was the buzz around the stadium. Is he going to play today? But someone I did see play in the next game, because we went to Philadelphia and watched the Phillies take on the Padres. And there's a guy that comes up to bat for San Diego, and the whole crowd stands up and starts applauding. And I'm like, Grandpa, who's that? He's like, that's a guy by the name of Tony Gwynn. Ooh, that's coming up to the plate right now. And I do remember that moment, is the entire Philly faithful, which is one of the worst fan bases in all sports, regardless of what sport they're cheering for, showing props to Tony Gwynn. So That's what I was doing in 2001.
They don't do that very often.
That's transcendent. Tony Gwynn is probably one of like less than 10 people. Like we're talking like Wayne Gretzky status of like, here's who you applaud this guy when he comes to your stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was doing in 2001 when the Mariners were locking up the, or probably, honestly, when I was at those games, the AOS was probably already locked up.
They like, had like 90 wins by August.
That's what I'm saying. It was in mid early August, I went to those games.
Those Mariner teams were sick during that time. Like that whole run, you know, up until then, like you think about all the players that played for the Mariners, you know, just at that time. You know, you're even you can go back to like the Randy Johnsons when he was in a Mariner for a while. So there's a bunch of names there just from the Northwest that will make you super, super proud. So yeah, go M's, man. Good job.
Yeah, but good Saturday. Good little sports weekend. I mean, it's getting less cool because of, you know, what the USA team's deciding to do in the Ryder Cup.
What, lose? Which part?
Not just lose. Like, they are just gacking it. Just...
Ooh, gacking. I like that one.
Yeah, they are doing nothing while Europe is nailing chip shots and making every 15 to 20-foot putt possible out there. And it's just... They're not seizing the moment. And it's a shame. It's a damn shame.
I'm actually with Swag. He was kind of bitching about the pairings. It's like, why are you sending Xander Schauffele back out there? Why?
Yeah,
I can't make a freaking putt.
Yeah, no one to me really seems to, again, want to step up and seize the moment when it's needed. And it seems like every time I was looking up at the TV yesterday, Fleetwood or someone for Europe was nailing a 15-foot clutch putt to either tie the hole or win the hole. And I'm just like, oh, my God, these guys are just unreal right now.
They own us either here or over on the other side of the pond. It just does not matter, man. The Ryder Cup is not the U.S.'s event. No. My God.
Well, I can't wait to see the biggest comeback of all time, though. That would redeem this sports weekend. I mean, let's be honest. When you look at the college slate, NFL slate, like the Ryder Cup is probably third fiddle. Compared to the rest of what's going on, maybe even fourth fiddle compared to the playoff races in MLB, as we mentioned. But
what's the second fiddle, NFL?
Just college NFL. There are 1A, 1B.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't know. Ryder Cup's fun. When I watch Ryder Cup, it makes me want to play more competitive golf, like with my buddies. Because usually we're just out there, you know.
Play against another team.
Taking on, you know, like.
Play teams. Hey,
yeah, exactly. Matchups. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Play some high low, you know, do a little match play, dollar per hole, you know. I feel like.
I'm going to start showing up to golf courses with my buddies. Hey, man, y'all want to run?
Yeah. Who wants to run twos?
Yeah, who want to run twos? Let's go.
What does Kevin Malone say in the office? Like, what are we playing? Aces, Deuces, Skins?
Like, yeah, I just feel like if in golf, when you're doing stroke play and you're just keeping your strokes, you're playing against yourself, right? It's you versus you. I'd like to see how my buddies do under the pressure of a competition of playing against me or another friend and see how I do. Maybe I crumble under the pressure.
Yeah, it is you versus you, but you know that's not really the case. It's really you versus them too. So, like, because you're already, you know, kicking yourself in the ass for making every single mistake on the golf course.
Yeah.
But your buddies can't wait to give it to you for shanking it left or right or whatever. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It's not – you don't like – I will take losing to someone I don't know. I don't have to hear about that anymore. But going golfing with your buddies or doing something with your friends and they beat you, like, you don't hear the end of that.
Yeah, bragging rights.
You don't hear the end of that.
Yeah.
Seriously. Somebody I don't know, cool, man. Hey, man, I lost this dude. He was cold, though. Your friend? Nah.
But what if it's in front of people? Like,
that's even worse.
Yeah, no. But guy you don't know and it's in front of people you do know.
I'm not tripping still about that.
Like, yeah, I guess
beat you, man. He was cold.
Well, I guess the context matters too. Yeah, if he just absolutely demolishes you, then your friends are just gonna be like, "Oh my god, Joe, you just you didn't even have a chance. Yeah. You embarrassed yourself."
Yeah, that's true. They do pick you up there.
It's like,
you
didn't even have a chance. You.
Yeah,
my hardest.
Yeah, but either way, like, just lose in front of a bunch of people to your friend. Yeah, a little bit different.
And Justin Thomas misses a 10-footer.
Oh, my God.
Bryson DeChambeau's hitting out of a rough that I can't even see the ball.
You missed the trick play by Illinois over here to score the tutty.
Oh, that's what I need to switch to.
You guys hung over? Is that the problem?
What?
All the Ryder Cup golfers, are they hung over as ass?
Maybe.
I mean,
God,
maybe.
That's a possibility.
They could use a stiff drink. Hopefully they got one in the afternoon round.
Bloody Marys for everyone.
What a sports weekend, though. This weekend has been circled for... a lot of people. For today's slate of games in college football, what we have this weekend in NFL, obviously the Ryder Cup, and then the MLB playoff race getting wrapped up in college football. Right now, there's a couple games going on. Notre Dame 21-10 over Arkansas. Notre Dame ranked 22 in the country. Illinois trying to bounce back after that just devastating, demolishing
beatdown is what
where
it was.
Someone may on this show have taken them to cover the 6.5 in Hootie
Love. Do it.
I don't
I
remember.
Do it.
I'm gonna have to. I'll have to check the spreadsheet.
You don't
to see.
Have to, you don't have to check anything. I can. I you know, I'm not ashamed.
Right now Illinois up 14-7 on USC. With about 10.5 left to go in the first half. USC at their own 16 trying to tie this game up. Georgia Tech also right now losing to Jake Dicker in Wake Forest. Wake Forest leads 7-3. 10.5 left to go in the first half there as well, so keep an eye out.
Kind of rooting against Jake Dicker, to be honest.
And Vanderbilt is losing to Utah State halfway through the first quarter, 7-0. Hopefully, yeah, we will see more ranked teams lose today because we have top 25 matchups, but we've already had one top 10 team fall this weekend, just last night, with Florida State losing to Virginia. And one of the more frightening, terrifying, but amazing field rush moments of all time. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Not a fan.
You weren't a fan of that
one? Not a fan. I don't like the field rush.
Don't mind the field rush, but there was something about that one that I'm pretty sure like a Florida State player almost got trampled to death. Like, yeah. Immediately.
There's almost always somebody that gets trampled to death in one of these things. Like, it's crazy.
Cooper Flagg injured his ankle, but he didn't actually injure his ankle for Duke when they stormed the court.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Was it Cooper Flagg or was it their other big white dude? From
Connor, was it?
Oh, it might have been the other big white dude.
Was it that one?
No, it was 2 years
ago.
No,
it was the other guy.
Damn it.
He was their star, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what he's in the league now. I think he plays for Utah.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Listen,
he plays for Utah, so no one knows
big white
who he is
dudes
right
coming through Duke. That's you know,
play for Utah. That's a story that we've heard quite
check
often.
Check and check. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's not go long because we got to get to some sports stuff. Most importantly, we got to get to the big game today that we have been waiting for. You want to talk about this weekend being circled? Well, it's been circled in this region for a long time because it is time for Oregon Ducks traveling to Happy Valley State College to take on Penn State, the Nittany Lions. It is here. Let's break it down. Talk about the matchups. Segment by segment, each unit versus each unit.
I like that.
Segment one, offensive line versus defensive line. Segment two, defensive line versus offensive line. Segment three, corners versus wide, just the whole show. Nothing but that.
I think people would enjoy a breakdown.
No, I'll let the guys after us do that.
X's and O's.
So the seventh guy off the bench, actually, I'm just kidding. The X factor, no.
I think the X factor today is going to be the long snapper.
God.
Oh, wait, this is in Oregon State.
Yeah, it's like maybe for the Beeb.
All right, let's take a break. Dive into this Ducks-Penn State matchup that we got here today on The Fan at 4:30. Get to that next here on Sports Saturday on The Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Saturday here on The Fan. You can jump in on the text line, 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6326. We're also on YouTube. You can interact with us, see our beautiful, pretty faces on YouTube. Rashad wearing the corduroy Coca-Cola hat today.
Yeah, man.
How about that?
It's vintage.
Looks nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Not enough corduroy out there. We need to bring More corduroy.
I have a nice
back.
Little corduroy feltish button-up shirt.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's nice. I like it.
I was a big fan of corduroy pants, man. So I think I'm going to bring this back.
Well, I'm a big fan of big games, Rashad. And we finally get that. As Duck fans and Duck watchers and people that follow the team, you know, these last few weeks have been fun watching them get, you know, dominant wins, but we've been dying for a game like this, and it's finally here. The Penn State-Oregon game today. I'm nervous. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. There's one moment I feel confident, and then the moment I just have a bad feeling in my stomach. But I just really can't wait for that first snap of the ball once the wideout starts, and it's just going to be an environment like this team has never experienced, that Duck fans that are there have never experienced. My really good friend Tanner, I'm trying to jockey to get him on at 11 a.m. To talk with us as our boots on the ground reporter out there.
He might be already wasted though,
and there's a good chance. He was at College Game Day this morning. They're on campus at Penn State, and I hope he's having a good time out there.
I'm sure he is.
I definitely would be getting pretty liquored up if I were him. Hopefully enough to, you know, enjoy the game still and not completely forget.
Oh, I mean, you're gonna need a nice little power nap to get in at some point, maybe 1-2 o'clock. But yeah, I think you're good now.
Yeah, I'm just again, I go back and forth of, you know, confidence and, like, you know, I'm really liking what we have. I feel like we should be able to run the ball, and I feel like we have the better playmakers offensively, better quarterback, and then it's just, well, maybe it's just Penn State's day and their transfer wide receivers are able to get downfield and really test the secondary like it hasn't been tested before, and is able to, you know, get down the field with a balanced attack of running and passing the ball. It's just, there's a lot, so many things that could happen in this game, and it's just making me nervous.
No, yeah, there's a lot to look at. Like, I mean, you talked about
cautiously optimistic.
We talk about this game being circled, you know, and you said this was circled, you know, for a lot of local fans here in Oregon. This game was circled. They've been throwing darts at the Duck. You know, they remember the Big Ten championship last year. And Oregon, in their first year in the conference, came in and played spoiler to a team that has been a constant within the Big Ten. And so, yeah, there's a lot for Penn State, a lot riding for Penn State in this game. And that defense is tough, you know, and I think really that's kind of what carries them. Drew Aller has been meh at best. You know, when we talk about the quarterbacks coming into the season, it's been all about Arch and it's been all about Drew Aller, and that's kind of what you heard. And so far, both quarterbacks have been mid at best, you know, but that defense and that offensive line is kind of what's able to carry them. The Ducks so far have been great. The cold part is they haven't been tested. They haven't really played a top-tier team. This will be obviously their first test of what they look like against the rest of the competition.
Montana State's top-tier in FCS.
That doesn't count. I mean, that's awesome, but, you know, that also doesn't count.
Good point,
you know?
Joe.
That's like, and I love FCS, but in comparison to, you know, FBS and the major conferences, it's
still
JV.
Real to me, damn it.
It's JV, you know, if we're being honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting for both these teams because both of their schedules, I mean, they have not played anyone. The only saving grace that Oregon has right now is that we could point to, like, Penn State versus FIU and Penn State only having a 10-0 lead at halftime and not being able to move the ball in that first part of their game. So, like, if you want to, you know, hone in on one aspect of both these teams, if someone has not looked as good as the other, I guess it would be that. It's like, well, you did not look like world beaters against FIU, which is a terrible team. So there is that. And I think that this game, it's been talked about a lot, is like who has the most pressure, you know, or who has more pressure. Is it Oregon or Penn State? I would say it's Penn State.
1,000% yeah. Penn State. Yeah. Have we forgotten Kevin Franklin's record?
James Franklin,
James Franklin's record?
4-20.
Against top 20 teams?
Top 10 teams.
Yeah, get out of here. Like,
and quite frankly, coming into the season, I think a lot of Duck fans, Duck observers, people that know this team and what they're expecting of them, were kind of like, yeah, they'll probably lose that game. Wide out, Penn State's got a good team, you know, yeah, they'll probably lose that. So to me, now the expectations have changed with this Ducks team where it's just like, oh, they could win that. I still think that Penn State, since this offseason, everything, they have had this game circled, and they're like, we need to win this. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I'm just, when I look at Oregon v. Penn State, and then I hear all the takes about, like, well, you know, Oregon might might be to the point where they haven't been tested yet, so this just might be a better team than they've ever faced, and that means that they're going to lose. But they don't really say the same thing about Penn State, and it confuses me. I'm kind of misunderstanding. Like, I get it. They got Catron Allen back, and God, they spent a ton of money going to get wide receivers in that room for Penn State. Like, they're
Three transfer receivers.
Exactly. They're trying to get guys for Jarrell to throw to, but then... Okay, so then you look at Oregon compared to Penn State and their performances so far this season. I would say Oregon, if you're saying both teams haven't played any competition to this point, Oregon has beaten those non-teams down by more points. And I heard national pundits saying like, oh, well, there's 9 running backs being used. Maybe Oregon doesn't quite know exactly who their top guy is yet. No, what that tells me is that these national pundits have no idea what Oregon football actually is, and they haven't actually watched these games for a full 60 minutes on the last 3 Saturdays or last 4 Saturdays for Oregon. It has been talent bursting at the seams for the first time in Oregon's history in the running back room and in the wide receiver room. And when you include Kenyon Sadiq and DeCorian Moore in the running game with Noah Whittington, with Jade Lamar, I mean, with Jordan Davison, keep going. There's unlimited amounts of guys that can actually make an impact. And I just don't think Penn State has that same level of talent. And frankly, if they're not beating down lesser teams by as much as Oregon, why are people saying that Penn State's going to win this game? Well, they have an advantage at home. But for me, that's the only advantage I see is the wideout tonight. That is it.
I was going to say that. Like, I think for me, the biggest advantage Penn State has is the fact that the wideout is like one of the most intimidating environments that college football has, right? So people go there and they just kind of go to die. But, I mean, people kind of have this thought, like you were saying, Jordan, about Oregon because of what they used to be, right? The spread offense, and they're kind of small up front and everything. Like, that's not the case anymore. They're big up front and they're fast everywhere they need to be. And when I look at Penn State, or I'll just look at the fact that they're putting up a lot of points. Drew Aller has like 5 touchdowns this year? 4?
Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller, he hasn't done 4 touchdowns.
Yes, 4 touchdowns. His teams have put up 46, 34, and 52. And of that, he has 4 touchdowns. So what that's telling me is if you can stop the run, you're shutting Penn State down. And honestly, Oregon's defensive front is better than I think a lot of people figured it would be. And I think they can, if they do a good job against the run, I'm not even saying stopping it, but if they can slow it down, I'm not worried about what Drew Aller is able to do through the air.
Yeah, I'll just, I'll push back on the, because I hear what you're saying, Jordan, is that, like, Ducks got some dudes, but that we have not seen it against good competition.
No.
So, like,
I agree with you.
It's, I understand, like, dude, we got this guy, there's this guy, I mean, look at all these players. It's like, all right, well, we are going to go up against Penn State now, and that is, like, they have dudes, too. They have guys all over where some of these guys who have had some great performances or great plays to start the season for the Ducks, like, they might not have those opportunities, or those plays might not happen today, or they might happen, but just in very in smaller sample sizes. I mean, I have no – again, this is where I don't know what to expect. I don't know if it's going to be an offensive back and forth where it's like the Big Ten Championship and both offenses are showing out, or if the defenses step up. I just have no idea what to expect, but I am curious as to what you guys might think are the biggest matchups, again, like defensively, offensively, unit by unit, which you guys are going to have your eyeballs on. And also, what if you're out there listening, going to be watching the game today, what do you think is going to be the key to the victory today? Because, I just think that there's a lot of different matchups and a lot of things that we need to key in on, but some may be more important as others. So you can join in on the text line, 503-864-6326, or on our YouTube chat to let your feelings known about this game. But let's get to that next. What is the matchup? What is the group on offense, defense for the Ducks or Penn State that is going to decide this game? Get to that next here on Sports Saturday. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Little Ryder Cup update. Europe is still making every putt that is longer than 10 feet in the USA can. I think it was Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton just nailed one 5 minutes ago from like 20 feet to take a one-up lead in their matchup. And then Sepp Straka just nailed a 10 to 15 footer to take a one-up lead in their matchup. And then Sam Burns for the U.S. couldn't make a 7-footer. So it's still just going great for the
U.S.
Oh,
yeah. That's not that far behind. 8.5 to 3.5. Right.
Yeah, this thing's cooked. No. I tweeted it yesterday. I was like, yeah, something needs to change drastically in the afternoon matchups, or this is going to be basically over by the time I wake up today. And sure enough, I woke up and I checked the scoreboard because this kicked off at like 4-something in the morning, our time.
You weren't up watching?
No, I was not up watching to watch the U.S. get their ass kicked. And yeah, I jumped on the ESPN app at like 7 a.m., looked at the scores. I'm like, ah, okay, this is going exactly how I anticipated. You know, so
thank God for football for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that another Sports Sunday.
Thank God for football and thank God for Penn State versus Oregon today, because this is just an absolutely huge matchup for both teams. All of college football will have their eyes on this game. On the text line, biggest matchup of the day, Oregon's offense versus that crowd noise. Better believe it. When they get that ball first, that place is going to be going off. Mo Bamba is going to be playing at probably a decibel level that's not even legally allowed, which I don't blame him. I love that
that's
song.
That's a great record, though.
That song gets you going. Get those juices flowing. But Lanning said, you know, start off quick. Quick start. Take that crowd out of it. Don't make that a non-factor as quick as possible to where you can take the juice and energy out of the crowd. And if they can do that first drive, if they've been prepared, I mean, you can't prepare for the sound. You can't prepare for what that environment is. You can do your best in the training center, practice field, you know, to make it as loud as possible, figure out how to get the signals to everybody without them having to hear. But it's going to be, Texter put it perfect. Oregon's offense versus the crowd noise is going to be a huge factor in this one to whether they can run their offense efficiently, not make mistakes, and everybody's on the same
page.
It's going to
be a bit of a role reversal because everybody comes to Autzen.
100%.
And they're always, you know, freaking out about how loud it is. And, you know, they take a lot of pride in Autzen about how loud they can get. Now Oregon's going to have to deal with that with a bunch of drunk kids at 7:30, you know, p.m. So they've been doing it all day. So, you know, I think they're ready for that. You know, really, if they can beat that crowd noise, which honestly, I think as big a factor as we believe it will be. You know, at the end of the day, I think the better team is going to win. And all it takes is Oregon getting off to a nice start and that Penn State offense kind of stumbling a little bit as far as running the ball. And then, you know, that crowd will shut right the hell up. It doesn't take long. You know, football is one of those games. Unless it's a close game, you're going to hear the crowd all night. But if you can get off to a great start and you go up 10-0 real fast, you know, 14-7 real fast, hey.
Please, straight into my veins all day long.
Yeah.
Biggest matchup for me that I will be keeping an eye on is the Oregon offensive line versus the defensive front of Penn State. They got a few dudes on that defensive line. Is it Dennis Danny Sutton? I don't know. It's a lot of D's and an apostrophe and comma and a hyphen and everything. But he's a dude. Zane Durant also on the defensive line. He's the defensive line. Sutton is on the edge. How the Oregon offensive line can contain those, get push up front to be able to consistently still run the ball, that to me is going to be absolutely huge. It's a classic football, like this game will be won in the trenches, but I think that on both sides, Oregon's offensive line, how they're able to get push against Penn State and keep Dante Moore relatively clean this game. And if they do create pressure If Dante Moore is going to be able to use his legs, kind of what we saw last week against Oregon State, and get out of the pocket and extend some plays and make some things happen, that to me is going to be huge. And then if the defensive line for the Ducks is able to get back there and create some pressure, I feel like they've been able to at times, but I would have liked to see them get in the backfield and cause some disruptions a little bit more throughout the season. But keeping that run game in check and getting to Drew Aller, making him uncomfortable so that way he makes mistakes. So the offensive line and defensive line for Oregon, that's going to be key for me watching those.
I mean, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth, man. I was going to say really Oregon's defensive line against that really good offensive line for Penn State. Like, there's a reason they've been able to put 50-some-odd points up on people without really throwing the ball like that. You know, it's because they have a dominant offensive line. But I think Oregon's defensive line has to control the trenches. I think that's just the number one thing for them. They've got to make that offensive line uncomfortable. They've got to get into the backfield enough to be able to kind of prevent really seeing that like play action or anything. Like, they got to really work against this offensive line. And I think that was, if they do that, if they can really stop that run, I don't think there's any one of us in the room right now that are super, super worried about Drew Aller beating you through the air.
No. I mean,
there's not a one of us in here that's worried about that. So if you can really control the defensive line and that means stopping that run, I think the Oregon Ducks would be fine today.
Go ahead, Jordan, but I am curious what's like the biggest game that Drew Aller's ever had. Was it the Big Ten Championship? I'll look it up, but sorry, go ahead.
No, you raise a good question. I think he had like one almost 400-yard performance outside of the conference championship last year, but you've got to check me on that looking at the stats. But here's my matchup. Kind of what you guys were saying, but I'll take it a little bit broader. I'm going the entire Oregon defense versus Drew Aller and Andy Kolnicki, the offensive coordinator for Penn State today. And here's why. You talk about the big pass and you talk about the trenches. Well, I think it all kind of lines up. And the overarching message here, we were kind of hitting on it in the last segment, is we don't really know what Drew Aller is yet. And a lot of people think that he can be that big name quarterback. Suk was saying this on primetime when I was filling in yesterday. Like, man, we just always see this five-star prospect, this elite guy, and even if he isn't showing all of those tangibles that we've said that he has yet, we just don't get off the fact that we think that he's going to be a star. And so many people have leaned into Drew Aller and said, oh, we haven't seen it quite yet, but he's going to be a freaking star. Yeah, it's coming. And to their credit, Penn State has a great offensive coordinator. We saw him handle Oregon's defense last year. I mean, Andy Kotelnicki did well. It was a shootout. Like, we know that that can happen, but I'm worried that Oregon is kind of being overlooked by the national media here. They're looking too much at Drew Aller. So I think my main matchup is to see what Drew Aller can do versus Oregon's defense with Kotelnicki's help. Frankly, though, I think Dante Moore's better. He's got the tempo. He's got the patience. And that's something Drew Aller doesn't even have as a veteran in college football. Dude, he will get rid of the ball way too quickly if you pressure him. So, yeah, in that, guys, the trenches need to be won by Oregon. But I'm interested to see how off balance Drew Aller gets today because, yeah, if they get him a little scared early, I think it's going to be Oregon's game pretty easily.
Well, and then, you talk about Kotelnicki. I mean, also the defensive coordinator for Penn State, Jim Knowles, coming over from Ohio State last year. I mean, he did a pretty damn good job in that Rose Bowl game, coaching up that defense to shut down the Ducks and that blowout victory for them. So as far as coordinators go, like, yeah, Will Stein is great. Tosh Lapoy, I feel like going into this season, had a lot to prove based off of his last couple performances, coaching the defense in the Big Ten Championship and the Rose Bowl. This is a big game for Tosh Lapoy too. You know, are you going to be able to scheme up a defense that is going to be able to stop the run, create pressure on Drew Aller so that way he's making mistakes? Also looking at Drew Aller, some of the biggest games that he has had, passing the ball. Last year's game against USC, he went 30 of 43, 391, two touchdowns, but also three interceptions in that one. That was the Tyler Warren game when he had like 19 catches or whatever the hell it was. Also his, basically first year as the starter in 2023, West Virginia, 325 yards passing, three touchdowns. He had a game last year to open the season against Kent State, 309, three touchdowns, no picks. Got a couple games with 295 yards. That was their bowl game against Ole Miss in 2023, 292 yards against Michigan State in 2023 in conference play. Outside of that, I mean, he has five games he's passed for over 290 yards. Every other game has been less than 250, 247 against Purdue last year, 244 against Minnesota last. So he's not, you know, 240 against Maryland with four touchdowns. So he is just game manager. And so the idea of him having to just go off and just shred a defense, to me, like, again, unless you're playing Kent State or West Virginia team 2 years ago, that is in an absolute hole. I find it hard to believe.
I'm right there with you, because, you know, while Kolonicki has been a great offensive coordinator, I suppose, in the Big Ten, and with Drew Aller, I suppose, like, they don't have a Keandre Lambert Smith this year. You know, they don't have what's my man's name? Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Like, they don't have a lot of those pieces that they had last year.
Yeah, they brought
and
most, in,
and all those pieces are in the NFL now. You know what I'm saying? All those really big name receivers that they had last year that did dirt against Oregon, they're all in the league now. So, well,
and they have brought in the transfers. There's Kyron Hudson from USC. Trevor Pena came over from Syracuse, had a decent season, and then they got one more guy that they brought over from Troy. That I can't recall his name, but they've invested in trying to bring some weapons this year, because they recognized that before the season, like, hey, we got a great running back room, but we're losing Warren, and we need to get some guys on the outside for Drew.
And you didn't lose him to graduation. I mean, I'm sure some of them graduated, but you lost him to the NFL, so you had NFL receivers on your roster. Do we know if that's the case for them right now? Just based on, because if it was, then I figure Drew Aller would probably have more than four touchdowns when his team is blowing people out week to week.
Well, I think that goes to the fact that Drew Aller does not elevate his team, and that's kind of what you expect a big quarterback, you know, in an elite college football program to do. Dante Moore, Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, these long line of quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, that have elevated their offense. And I think that's kind of the thing that, when we talk about the tangibles we're waiting to see from Drew Aller, I don't think it's there. I think they needed to bring in those highly paid wide receivers, not to complement, like here in Oregon, a situation like Dante Moore. DeCorian Moore's going to come in and make basically the entire offense like the world on fire. No, they need that talent to supplement the negatives that Drew Aller's putting on the field.
All right, let's keep it in the state of Oregon, but let's go down the road to Corvallis, because, oh my God.
It's not right now.
We got to. We had a Friday night game in Corvallis. I don't think many people expected much, but we got ourselves a good game somehow, some way, that did not end up in Oregon State's favor. We get to that next year, Sports Saturday, right here on the Fan Sports Network. Sports Saturday, right here, brought to you by Philbrook Law, accident and injury attorneys during the football season. Went out and played some golf with Matthew Philbrook and Tiffany Henson, the lawyers, the other day. They can swing the stick.
You know,
they can swing the stick.
Yeah, a little small flex. I see you.
I feel like lawyers are probably some of the top, like, amateur golfers, or just every, what do you call that? Like, hobby golfers, I guess. Like, yeah,
should be a lawyer league.
Yeah, like, what are the like, hedge fund lawyer? Yeah, what are all of the occupations that basically being a good golfer is kind of required?
All I know is hanging out with them, playing golf and getting drinks and lunch afterwards. I then went and talked to my son after that. I'm like, you're going to law school.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Actually, you're going to be an effing lawyer.
No, because AI is getting rid of those.
No, Dad.
I'm going to bust a move.
Ballroom dancing's my passion.
No, Dad, I want to be a TikTok star.
And you better be
and
good
then,
at it.
And then smack.
Yeah, you better be good at it.
Give him a good old wallop.
So you can TikTok stars. I Show Speed was just coming through Portland and everything.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
What is his...
He's pretty fun. I like Speed. He's a young kid, but he does a lot of, like, athletic stuff. He's super fast, everything like that.
So what is his... I'm just trying to understand, what is he famous for?
I'm a cool kid that does being cool
a dude.
Stuff, man.
Just being a guy.
That's it.
Just being a bro.
Social media sucks. And I'm not saying Speed's the problem. I'm saying the viewers are.
He's a fun guy.
Hey, this was supposed to be a pat on the back, A for effort segment for Oregon State here.
What? A what?
Hey, they almost got a dub last night.
No.
It ain't horseshoes, bro.
I mean, they should have got the dub last night. I don't think I've ever seen a team, to harken back on their long snappiness, I don't know if I've ever seen a team affected this much by special teams in a season. Like, and when I say affected, I mean negatively effective. It's just every game there is something going wrong. Special teams. Actually, I would say last week was probably their best special teams performance against Oregon. Nothing went wrong in particular for them, snapping the ball or, well, they didn't really have any field goals or, you know, extra points to really attempt, just one. But last night, it happened again. They got a 24-10 lead going into the fourth quarter. I mean, they led the entire game. They were up the entire game until they weren't, and they tied it. Houston did, 24-24, and the Beavs, they set up for a, well, by their standards, a long field goal at the end of the game to try and win it, and their field goal gets blocked, and then it goes to overtime. And then when they're in overtime, they can't even kick a field goal. It's fourth and one, which I appreciate the aggression from Trent Braid going out there to try and convert and win the game, but they do not kick the field goal because, God forbid, you attempt that at Oregon State this year. And they get stopped on fourth and one in overtime, give the ball to Houston. Houston then kicks a short chip shot field goal to take their first lead of the game and to win the game 27-24. Rashad, you were asking during the break, is Trent Bray done? I would say no, because this team is clearly still playing for something, fighting for something. I feel like if he was done and that message was just not resonating anymore, then this does not happen last night.
I don't know. I don't feel like getting 17 unanswered scored on you in the fourth quarter is still fighting for somebody.
Whoa.
That isn't
14 unanswered.
14 on
and then the three in overtime.
17 unanswered. Yeah, exactly. 17 unanswered. I was about to say
there was only 14 really? In the fourth quarter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't lose you don't lose that way. So I find it hard to believe that they're still playing for this coach. Let's just be real.
Well, like, I mean, they are.
Anytime a team starts playing for a coach, you know that this whole experiment is over at this point.
Like, again, you could have seen them roll the ball out and they're like, let's just get this over with and get our weekend started earlier. And they didn't do that. Like, I feel like if he was a truly lost cause, and he is, then you're not getting Oregon State playing this well and playing this hard and giving themselves a chance. I just don't think you see that happening if they were truly out on him as a head coach. And it just seems like Scott Barnes and that department are, they're not interested in looking and trying something different. It's going to probably take a real ugly loss to, God knows who, App State. They go to Appalachian State. They lose that one. Oh, so then these, I could see him.
So these last five weren't enough for them. Like, you know, you're talking about the worst start Oregon State has had since to tie the 1996 start of 0-5.
Yeah,
that's insane. Like, even for Oregon State, like for a couple of years ago when they were winning 7-8 games, I can't remember how many they actually won, but we were all saying, okay, the it's back. Oregon State football is coming back. And then for the last few years, it's been, they were 5-7 last year. So cool, right? Just one game off of a bowl game at least. And now this year you start the season 0-5. Like, if your head coach is 5-12 as a head coach, if there's ever been a time to pull the plug, man, do it now while you can probably still salvage some of your seasons.
Let me ask you guys a quick question. What were the qualifications for Trent Bray as a head coach when he was
played
hired
for Oregon State?
Okay, that's one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
anything else?
No. I mean, he was a defense coordinator, so, I mean, you know, so, he at least has a title. It's not like they're hiring, like, the graduate assistant or anything, but those are literally two.
Yeah, that was
exactly
it.
Yeah, my point is, like, I understand that Oregon State is obviously in a crappy position. You know, Jonathan Smith leaving them high and dry, that's not their fault, right? The conference screwed them. They got screwed by Jonathan Smith, but just the legacy attitude essentially taken as, okay, how are we going to fill this? That is the laziest
now,
plan.
To be fair to Oregon State fans, and like, there was a lot of Oregon fans when they were going through their hire that, you know, even literally former Oregon players that were like, we need a man of Oregon. We need a guy that went to Oregon and to coach this team.
To Rob Mullen's credit, he didn't listen to any of
them.
Thank
God.
It's not the fans that make the decision. You just named him. Scott Barnes. You're right, Joe. They're not interested in being not even an elite team, not even a good team, but a team worth fighting for, a team worth watching. It's obvious. If you saw those first three games by Oregon State, you would know that that guy, Trent Bray, is not qualified to be a head coach. We've been hearing from the start of his tenure rumors about mismanaged practices, not getting the program organized. I mean, guys, the whole job of a coach is to be the CEO of a program, right? And if a guy that has no CEO experience is coming in and we're now into the second year, five games, and I like your point, Rashad, about giving up 14 unanswered points in the second half after you got a lead,
I have not seen any fight. I have not seen any finish.
I mean, you literally just saw
a
fight last night.
No, I don't think that's fight.
They were up 24-10.
That is pride on the players' ends because they don't want to look stupid. It's against
Houston.
Well, it's
too late for that. I mean, they already did that the first four games. And this is what I'm saying is that if he was truly like on the way out, then Oregon State is not, those players aren't doing that last night.
I mean, because you still, I think you still, at the end of the day, it's hard to go out there and not compete, especially exactly. in football. You can't play half-ass football, which is why they don't really play the Pro Bowl anymore. And so I think they go out there and they play hard. They compete hard. But I think it says something for a coach to either motivate you to compete harder or at least put things in your in place for you to make the competition a little, I'm not going to say easier for you, but something more manageable for everybody. It seems like everybody on Oregon State's roster from offense to defense to special teams is just like confused, especially special teams. Those are mental mistakes that, man, they can be coached or you got to get rid of the player and move on to the next one. And it just seems like right now, like that's a big gaping hole for them. That the biggest issue is their head coaching, getting themselves out of bad positions. I understand they were up, right? They were up. And I think
they should have won that game. They had a 99.2% probability to win that game with 7 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
And once the first touchdown was scored, they should have pepped up. Okay, let's finish this game. Let's do this the right way. And that didn't happen. And then they let another touchdown happen. And then you go all the way down the field. And like you said, Joe, at the beginning of this segment, pride kicked in. You could have just went ahead and went for the field goal and at least took the three and then took it from there. But you decided, let's go for it. Didn't get it. Let them kick the field goal. Game's over. You know. And so I think a lot of that is coaching. It comes down to that in the end. Like, the players can do so much, but if you don't have a coach that knows what they're doing or putting people in the right position to do so, you know what I mean? Like, what do you do?
I will wrap it up with this one statement. All right. Trent Bray coached under Dennis Erickson, Mike Riley, and Jonathan Smith. I see none of those three coaches with their fingerprints on Trent Bray as a head coach. He just doesn't got it. All right. There's some people that have it, some people that don't. He's Jim Tom Sula. All right, guys? I don't know. That's Trent Bray.
Well, Beavs lose in devastating fashion last night. They fall to 0-5. Should have got their first win, and yeah, they didn't. They had a really good chance. They had Houston on their heels in that fourth quarter. It was a 3rd and 17 at one point, and then they sure enough let them get enough yards so that way they can convert the fourth to keep their game alive and drive alive, and then they are able to give them the ball right back because they can't get it. I think you know, it's not just Trent Bray, but I think it's Ryan Gunderson also, like running a 4th-and-1 shotgun play in overtime. Like, yeah. That always drives me nuts, just football in general. It's like, hey, guys, we only need 1 yard. How about we do this?
Yeah.
Let's put the quarterback 6 yards back,
right? Bingo.
And have them start stupid. From there. Like, and yeah, it just, that was brutal. That was that one. I mean, that might just be the most brutal loss under the circumstances that you had that game.
And that's a coaching. And again, that goes back to
this and the Fresno State game. Both are just like absolute, like two games easily should have been wins and just didn't get it done.
Somebody's got to go. Offensive coordinator, head coach. Somebody's got to go by Monday.
Again, I mean, you're very well right. You said a little bit ago too, like, hey, what, do we even get past this weekend before the announcement of Trent Bray? And, you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe they let him go to App State with this team, or they say, let's just cut bait now and let this team go.
Let him enjoy his weekend and fire him now. Like, no need for you to have anxiety about it until Monday. We'll let you go now.
I bet you they've already told him yes or no. No, if there's a decision announced by Monday, he already knows at this point.
That's tough. Tough night for the Beavs down in Corvallis on a Friday night game that they should have won.
We're still pulling for you, Beavs, man. Hopefully you can turn it around at some point, but damn, that's weak.
Damn, I mean, is right.
What can you say?
Damn is right. All right, take a break. Let's jump over to the NFL because there are some fun matchups this weekend. There are some big matchups between teams that need to get a win. And also, we got some 3-0 teams. Which one are we buying? And 0-3 teams, which are we selling at this point? Because not a lot of 0-3 teams make the playoffs, but there's a couple on there that it's very intriguing considering where they've been the last couple of years. So get to some NFL football here in hour number two. We got who do you love at the bottom of the hour, and then give our final predictions for this Oregon Penn State game today. Get to that next here. Hour number two, Sports Saturday, brought to you by Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers, right here on the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.